So, continuing to think about Sukkos and the relationship between Sukkos and its mitzvos and the war of 1973, the great heroism, the great faith, the great nisim that maybe flew under the cover were not as clear and glaring as 1967. So let's start with a famous machlokas about the texture of the Sukkos. We'll talk about the Vilna Gaon, and surprisingly, we'll talk about how this relates to the Yom Kippur War. Okay, who can talk about Sukkos without the famous machlokas between Eliezer and his Talmud Rabbi Akiva? Did they sit in actual huts, Rabbi Akiva Shita, which they constructed themselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them construct in the desert, to shield them from the elements, to shield them from the sun, from the wind, from the cold, from the serpents, or, as Rabbi Eliezer, his Rebbe, said, they sat in Anani HaKavod Hayu. So much has been written, so much has been said, probably a little bit of each. We celebrate both the Anani HaKavod, which obviously protected us at some point, probably at least in the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when they reached an area called Sukkos. They actually sat in Sukkos. So this is probably not a mutually exclusive machlokas. But for our purposes, the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, in his Perushim and Sukkah, has a very interesting question. He says if the celebration is, at least in part, as Rabbi Eliezer affirms, for the Anani HaKavod, the Anani HaKavod began to encircle us already in Parshas B'Shalach, already after we left Mitzrayim, which is time-stamped to Nisan. So Sukkah should be in Nisan. Now, it's an interesting question. You don't really need this Anani HaKavod angle to ask the question. Of course, the question can be asked on its own. If Sukkah celebrates HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting us in the Midbar and protecting us with Sukkos Mamish, according to Rabbi Akiva, well, presumably they build those Sukkos in Nisan as well. So it should be tethered to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And of course, a famous question, and the answer Chazal gave us, is that had we celebrated Sukkos in the spring, it would have been less noticeable that we're exiting our houses during iffy weather patterns. Weather is starting to turn, weather's going crazy in September and October, less so in Eretz Yisrael, but certainly in other climates. And despite the weather irregularities, we leave our homes and we render ourselves vulnerable to be protected solely by Kodesh Baruch Hu and Selusa Dimhemnusa in the Sukkah. Had Sukkos occurred during Nisan, be less noticeable. Nisan is the spring. Nisan is Shir HaShirim. Everything's waking up. Everything's calm, stable, pastoral. So in order to demonstrate the mitzvah of Sukkos, rather than just some leisurely stroll into our porches and verandas, Sukkos was unnaturally rescheduled from Nisan to Tishrei. Of course, there are other reasons to juxtapose Sukkos with Tishrei. Of course, to juxtapose it to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Many, many reasons. But the Vilna Gaon has a very distinct angle. His angle is as follows. That if we're celebrating the Anani HaKavod began to encircle us in Mitzrayim, or when we left Mitzrayim, in Nisan. However, there was an interruption. The Anani HaKavod were interrupted at the Hegel. The Anani HaKavod dissipated. They were no longer available. I always thought that as part of the imagery which Yeshaya uses, Mechisi ka'av pishoecha v'che'anan chatosecha shuv alai ki gyalticha, I will erase your sins like clouds, ka'av pishoecha v'che'anan chatosecha shuv alai ki gyalticha. Why is this a metaphor for erasing sins? There's so many different metaphors, whether it's laundering the sins like snow, laundering them like wool, kashela gilbino, katzemrihiyu, whether it's throwing the sins into the sea, tashlich m'silas yam, whether it's covering them with ava, v'alkop shay techase ava. What does it mean when Yeshaya says, machisi ka'av pishoecha v'che'anan chatosecha? Part of it is because the aftermath of kapara was the restoration of the clouds, was the restoration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. So when Hashem promises us, and of course this is part of our common narrative, our history, we don't have the Anani HaKavod anymore, but presumably the collapse at Har Sinai led to as the Pasuk says, they removed their crowns, but according to the Vilna Gaon, and presumably it's not just the Vilna Gaon, you could imagine, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu encircle them with clouds in His presence after they had betrayed Him in the Egel? So there was a distance and a separation and a divide and a barrier. So the Anani HaKavod were interrupted. When did the Anani HaKavod restore or redescend from Shemayim? So the Vilna Gaon gives us a timeline. Moshe descends on Yom Kippur. That's the day that he achieves kapara from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the final kapara. So that's Yud. Yud Aleph, he gathers everyone. Parshas Vayakel, if you read Sefer Shemos as a continuous timeline, like the Ramban reads it. So now Vayakel, or even according to Rashi, Vayakel certainly after the Ego, so it's irrelevant, independent of the Machlokas. So Yud Aleph is where Moshe gathers everyone, delivers the tzivoy either to start building the Mishkan, Shitas Ramban, or to restore building the Mishkan. But either way, there's an order. I apologize. According to the Ramban, this was the reissuing of the order. According to Rashi, it's the first time he's instructing them. But either way, he's instructing them to build the Mishkan on Yud Aleph. Now for 2 days, they collect material. Based on the pasuk Vehem Heviu Olav Od Nidava Baboker Baboker. So it took them 2 days, which is an amazing, amazing feat, to deliver all the material in 2 days. So now Yud is Yom Kippur, Moshe descends. Yud Aleph is the gathering, the instructions, the plans. Yud Beis and Yud Gimel are the very, very hurried donation. Yud Dalet, they took an accounting and they realized that they had enough, and they instructed the Haviru Kol B'machana, don't bring any more. So now, what day did they begin constructing the Mishkan? They began constructing the Mishkan on Tetvav. Again, Yom Kippur, Moshe descends. The next day, Yud Aleph, he instructs. Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, they gather material, donations. Yud Dalet, they call it off. Tetvav, they begin construction. And with the beginning of the construction of the Mishkan, this is highly symbolic, the Enan HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns, the Enan HaKavod. Then, of course, when we read in Pekudei, when they complete building the Mishkan, the Enan HaKavod descends. The Vilna Gaon, I don't think, says this, but it's clear the Enan HaKavod continues to descend, not just to protect them, but as a concentrated presence in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, barring Moshe from entry. So, if we're celebrating Sukkos, in part, the Vilna Gaon claims, for the Enan HaKavod, we're celebrating the restoration of the Enan HaKavod, which began on Tesvav Tishrei, not Nisan. So this isn't just an arbitrary, symbolic rescheduling of Sukkos to the fall, or juxtaposing it to the Chagim of Tishrei and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. This is remembering a particular event that happened on the 15th, when the Enan HaKavod were restored after the disruption and the hiatus caused by the Ego. But now let's fast forward a couple thousand years and think about what happened on Tesvav Tishrei in 1973. 1973, of course, we were surprised by the Arabs. Those first couple of days were touch and go. Very, very dangerous. So I'll name both the day of October as well as the Hebrew date. So, of course, Yud Tishrei, the day of our Kapara, the 6th of October, was the day we were attacked around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the notion that Yom Kippur, our greatest gift from Hashem and our holiest day of the year, could be leveraged and exploited and weaponized against us was unthinkable in Shemayim. But the Arabs tried. They assumed that we wouldn't be able to gather to the front. They assumed that within 24 hours they'd already be standing in Tveria up north, and they'd be standing in Ashdod in the south, because we couldn't rally because we'd be too busy with our Yom Kippur. And let's just say that from the 6th to the 9th of October, that would be Shabbos, that year Yom Kippur was Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, things were very, very desperate. A lot of hard battles, a lot of casualties. Egypt crossed to the eastern side of the Suez Canal. It means the side that we would call Israel, through bridges. Syria attacked in the north. We contained them in the Golan, but the southern Golan, things were still very, very difficult. On the 8th of October, the counterattack against Egypt failed. There was tremendous loss. Syrians were advancing in the north, and there was threats to the civilian population. This is all from around the 6th of October to the 9th of October, or from Tisha B'Av, which is the 6th, to the 13th of Tishrei, which is October 9th. Sorry, I was interrupted a little bit. That's part of Ben Azmanim. So the 6th of October, the 7th of October, the 8th of October, the 9th of October, things were very, very dire from Yud Tishrei to Yud Gimel Tishrei. Now on the 10th of October, which is Yud Dalet, all of a sudden things started to change. It changed in a very complex way because the airlifts of weapons began to both sides. The Soviet Union began to airlift arms to the Arab forces, but the Americans began to airlift weapons to the Israeli forces. So on the 14th of Tishrei, that would be the 10th of October, years and years after we had already collected enough for the Mishkan, evidently, as we're still trying to crawl and scrape our way to Geula in Eretz Yisrael, in the sandy deserts of the Sinai and the rocky hills of the Golan, we still had to collect, and we had to collect from foreign sources. So thousands of years ago on the 14th, when we lived in supernatural conditions, we instructed everyone, said, stop bringing, because we collected enough to build the Mishkan. Unfortunately, on the 14th of Tishrei, 1973, we still hadn't collected enough, and the airlifts began. But what happened on October 11th, which is now Tesvav Tishrei, we call that Sukkos, according to the Vilna Gaon, that's when the Anani HaKavod were restored to our people. All of a sudden, our counterattack began to succeed, in particular in the north. By the end of October 11th, Tesvav Tishrei, we completely repelled the entire Syrian attack on the Golan, and we were a mere 40 kilometers from Damascus. That happened on Tesvav Tishrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu restored the Anani HaKavod to protect us in lightning quick speed. Ka'av Pishoecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu restored our people, protected us, protected our north. The actual defeat of the Egyptians. The actual defeat of the Egyptians took place a little bit later. That would be on the 14th of October. And that's, of course, Yud Ches Tishrei. That's a little bit later. So I'm trying to think about Sukkos through the prism of the Yom Kippur War. And again, to summarize, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, whether we sat in huts or clouds of glory. The Vilna Gaon says it's not just the clouds of glory, but the restored clouds of glory after the kapara for the Chet HaEgel and the restoration of the clouds of the Anani HaKavod when we started building the Mishkan. Years and years later, Tesvav Tishrei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu restored his protective Anani HaKavod as we defeated our enemies in the north on the 15th of Tishrei, the first night of Sukkos, the first day of Sukkos, October 11th.